Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Oh, my God, we almost didn't have a show today because yesterday I kind of got out of my routine in the morning and I forgot to post the show. And I worked from when we finished the show. I didn't even leave like my physical house. I had appointments where someone came here. And I worked until 11 o'clock at night last night. And it never occurred to me once in all of that time that I did not post the show. Because usually I do it right after the show and I just tried to do all this stuff too fast and I posted and whatever, and I get on today to Blog Talk and it tells me that there's no show posted, and I'm like, what happened? And I posted it as fast as I could. So anyway, I did have questions. It was something I wanted to talk about, and I do have a dream. Somebody didn't give me a dream yesterday and we're doing it today. It's crazy, but she did only put it on an hour ago, and I will do it for her because she can probably start the weekend with this in mind. And I had so much fun with Dream Theme Thursday yesterday. Man, you guys, your dreams are good, and they have so many little things that at first don't seem so obvious, and then you're like, how could I not see it that way? So very, very cool. Today is 6:16. We're on the other half of the month. It is 5:30 in the morning in LA, and we are on it. And then there was something I needed to talk about after this part of after the dream. So let's go for it, and then we got a weekend ahead of us. So I have this dream from Susan, and Susan, it's Auric. She says, "Our another dream theme, dear group members. This dream I had last night is so crazy. I cannot hold on to it. So here we go. I was in an office, which I thought to be mine, but in fact, it was a bank." Oh, well, that's good. That's like a great place to be in your dream. "So I found some banking people working there. After asking them what they are doing in my office, it turns out that we share the office, and I come in after their hours. So I leave because it was not my turn yet. Out in the streets, I see Nadia, and I follow her. Someone catches up from behind yelling, your phone is ringing, trying to hand me my phone. Now, as I reach for my phone, a white lily floats down from the sky, materializing out of the blue. I hear a voice saying, 'Where are you at? Find you.' I tell the voice that I'm downtown near Nadia Khalil. Okay, so I know they are on their way. I feel good about that. Suddenly, out of nowhere, a cloaked man attacks me. He looks like the personified death himself, but with some rotten skin on him. Ew. Okay. He is quite distanced because he is the only negative person in the area. So he throws me to the ground and puts a pistol to my head, screaming, 'Tell me the meaning of life now.' I tell him to put the pistol away because I cannot think with this thing to my head. He does not move, so I reach for it and pull it away, telling him I love my life. He disappears. The pistol is in my hand. Now that I want to get rid of it, I take a closer look. It's us from the 18th century and from cast iron. Two people from Salvation Army appear, and I give it to them for their museum. Finished." Sorry, I had to blow my nose. I woke up and it got, it's like so hot here, but if you sleep with your windows open, you're going to get kind of a runny nose in the morning. So anyway, dream is telling you. It's a dream of not only freedom, but it is a dream of knowing that everything is in your hands. That man with the cloak is the person that you were to yourself. And now that you're feeling freedom, the cloaked part of you is out. You had has reorganized itself, and it is releasing its hold on you. When you have negative feelings about people, when you're upset with people, coworkers, friends, parents, relationships, anybody who enters into your life, either people you were born to or people that you invite in for the reasons you need to invite them in. But then you realize that the gun is in your hands, not in anybody else's hands, that we are harder on ourselves than anyone else can be. And we are also harder on people we are hurt from more than anyone else can be. But the minute we put love first, what happens? All of that energy goes away. It comes to us looking as ugly as it can look, as harsh as it can look in our dreams, because it has to personify everything we don't want. And all you have to do is say that you love yourself, that you love your life, and it disappeared. And that's exactly how any energy weaker than love, any energy that exists weaker than love, is obedient to love. And in your dream, it's telling you that nothing changes throughout time. Love is always foremost, no matter what movie you can see on television, made from the very first movies or very old movies, and they all center around love and the way love was seen at that time in the movie. That's the one consistent thing. The clothes are different. The jobs are different. The way the areas look are different. Everything is different. But the one thing we still see over time is love. Strongest emotion we have. It is the strongest energy we have. And we learned this week, I learned this week from Christ, that love is an energy, not a feeling, even though I still have to like cross the line in saying that it's a feeling. Love is not an emotion like we think. Our reaction to it is emotional. But love itself is the strongest energy we have. Love is an energy. That's why, like, when we first meet somebody or when we are upset at somebody, we're very clear that we love them, whether we're excited about them and reacting that way or we're upset about them and we are reacting that way. We're just connected through love. And this dream, the cloaked man was all the stuff that was able to attack you in one way or another. Get mad at this person, get mad at that person, blame this person, blame that person. Just know who your tribe is, who isn't. Don't put judgment on anybody. And your freedom is when you know you love your life, when you know you love yourself. That is freedom. And it's interesting how you ended with the pistol in your hand. And then you realized, I don't even need my gun anymore. I don't need it anymore. I don't have anybody to shoot. I don't have to protect myself from anybody. I'm okay. I'm okay. Okay on my own now. I can take care of my stuff now. Susan, yes, you just got on the chat, and it's your dream we're doing, and you should go back and listen to this one, because I think our scariest dreams, our weirdest dreams, being in a bank is telling you that you can take on a lot of responsibility and you can handle what comes your way. because a bank is a very telling place. When banks show up in our dreams, I very rarely, but when they do, it's not about money like you would think. It's about being able to handle any situation, because in banks, they deal with money and not the lack of anything. All you can put in a bank is money. There's nothing else a bank does. It transacts money. And money makes things move around. With money, you can do this, you can do that. It's permission to live. And you are now having permission for yourself to live and to enjoy. And the way you got that permission was to get rid of the parts of you that didn't feel, didn't care, didn't know how to integrate feelings that you might have towards people that were hard to deal with before. Now you understand. Now you can say, hey, they're not right or wrong. They're different than me. Are they part of my circle or not? I'm okay with either, as long as it's real, as long as it's true, as long as it's based on love. Because love trumps everything. The gun has been in our hands, not just your hand, in all of our hands. All the time. Sometimes we put ourselves in a position that this stuff is happening to us. Why is this happening to me? The minute we do that, it's going to keep on happening. Because you haven't figured out why. Why does this keep happening to me? Well, I don't know. But why does it keep happening to you? If you say, hey, this is happening to me, what do I want to do about it? What will I do about it? You'll find something to do about it. If you don't do that, and you're going to find out why it keeps happening, and it will keep happening in one way or another. It's going to keep finding you over and over again. It will keep on finding you. It will keep showing up until you face it. One of the things I heard the most when I first saw Christ was people would say, it just this happens to me over and over again, the repetition. Sorry, you guys. Of the same lesson. It's amazing. I don't hear that much anymore. As we have grown, we no longer need to speak that language because that language no longer serves us. It just doesn't. It's not who we are anymore. We evolved out of that. This dream is telling you that you're not out of control. You kind of like learned who you are enough to know what's yours and what isn't. And that alone saves you time, saves you money, saves you energy, and at the same time increases your time, increases your energy, increases the way you love yourself, your life, how much you enjoy things while you are doing them. Not later saying, yeah, you know what, that was actually pretty good. But while you're doing it, knowing that, wow, I'm doing this for a reason. This is why I'm doing this. All that purpose is now aligning itself with you. Imagine. What a great dream. Thank you for sharing it. I did pull it out for today. I keep getting a lot of questions asking me things like, how do I motivate myself? How do I get myself going? How do I break out of doing the things that I've done for so many years? How do I do them different after all of this time? I see Susan wrote about her dream. Everything you said, it is so true. I know you came in a little late to today's show, but go back and listen to this dream because it's a dream. It's a very telling dream. So you're welcome. I see what you're saying in the chat. So The chat's all lit up, and good morning, everybody. We have Nancy, Liam, and Francis, and guests, and Susan, and thank you guys for being there. So going back to this, how do I break out of my routine? How do I do things differently? How do I stop even things like, we had a conversation yesterday about just people on Facebook, and how do I stop myself from reacting to everybody and then creating all this chaos, and how do I stop this routine in my house, or how do I stop eating the way I do, or how do I start exercising, or how do I stop or start? It is one of the hardest things to do is to change the habit. We cannot do or do anything we decide, but the habit, the routine, it upsets what we do, so we put it off. We know we want to do it, but we just start putting it off, and we find such creative ways to do it. In any situation that comes up, we jump into it, and we do it, and then we say, well, I couldn't do it today because fill in the blank. But anything you want to do, and I have tried this and done it so many times that I bet my life on it. And now I laugh at myself when I don't do it because I know what I'm doing while I'm doing it in the moment. Like, let's say right now, I made a decision yesterday that I'm going to eat better today. Let me just say I'm going to do that. The first thing I need to do today is to eat better. Not after breakfast, not after lunch, not after dinner, not after today to start tomorrow again, but this morning. Whatever I get up to eat after here, I make a better choice. By now, I've like cleaned out my whole thing, and I most 90% of my choices are going to be good choices, but I'm just saying for the way I started is I just started making better choices. And initially, I ended up throwing away the other food that wasn't really good choices for me. Maybe they were at the time I bought them, or they were just impulsive, or they were just, you know, whatever I was addicted to. But as I started eating better, I no longer had addictions to food, which I didn't expect. I just wanted to eat better. But I realized that the better I ate, the less I craved, but my body would crave things it needed. Like I would all of a sudden feel like I needed lemon, or I'd feel like I needed an orange, or I'd feel like I needed tangerine, or I feel, you know, it's like my body would want specific things. It reminded me of when I was pregnant. Your body asks for specific food, and you are on a journey to find it. But once you clean up most of what's in there, you now will crave certain foods that your body needs. You want to get to work earlier, a half an hour every day. Set your alarm for a half an hour earlier. Wake up the way you always do. You won't even feel the half hour. And just follow your routine, and all of a sudden you're there a half an hour earlier. And initially, you probably won't even know what to do with that time, even though you're the one who wanted it. It's really cool. All the little things we change. Sometimes it even takes where, let's say you have your bedroom and you're just in this tight routine, but if you clean your room out and switch the furniture around, it gives you this new feeling. Like you can still change anything because it's so symbolic when we do those things. Feeling like it's hard to change takes up more time and energy from us than actually making those changes, making that change. I even took an example of a conversation I had yesterday about all the wranglings that happen on Facebook. And then after I finished that conversation, about an hour after, I was getting ready for an appointment, and I was you know, hoping to God that I utilized my time well with this person, so I have to pay him by the hour, and I had to have him come because we're working on a website and we're working on all these things. And I thought to myself, you know, oh my gosh, you know, I really needed a lot. I had to resync all my computers. I had to do all this business. So as I'm thinking about all of that, I realized every single one of us who's on, let's say, Facebook, which is a mirror of everything else we do. I barely have time. It shows up when you don't have time. It shows up when you do have time. It shows up how much time it shows up. All of it shows up. Who you are. And do you feel like you have to prove things? Do you feel like you don't? Do you feel like you have to argue with everyone? Do you feel like you don't? Do you feel like people are with you or for you? Or do you feel like you don't? Why do some of us feel more of that than others of us? Why? What do we need back? What kind of validation do we need back from anything? It's all a reflection, just like our dreams are a reflection. Everything is a reflection because it's you. So it's you're telling the world who you are, and the world is showing you what who you are is comes back. You can only get the energy exchange with what you put out. So if you don't like what you're getting back, ask yourself what you're putting out. Whatever your intentions are, what are you putting out? Because that is why what you are getting back is what you are getting back. That is why I'm not getting that back, because I'm not putting that out. It's all about an energy exchange. And it didn't even, like, hit me until, like, an hour later. And I'm like, wait, it's all the energy exchange. It's the obvious answer that sometimes takes us forever to get to. But whatever you offer life, life will take it, digest it, and say, okay, this is the direction you gave me, so let me drive my car back to you so you can see the car that you just made. This is what you made move around. This is the energy you put out, and this is what you asked. This is what came back. Now, you may not have willingly asked for the reaction you got, but who you choose, why you choose them, out of all the people that you could choose to interact with, we are not a dog on a bone. We're people who can make choices. We're not forced to do anything, not one of us. And the dream that we just read for Susan is so befitting. Who's really in the cloak that comes at us? It's us. It is us. And we have to decide why we need the cloak. We can blame all day. I can decide after I'm done with my show today that I don't want to do anything today, so I'm going to put all my energy into blaming people for what they've done to me over and over and over and over and over and over again. Until my day is passed, and then I say, well, of course I couldn't get to what I wanted to get to because I spent my time being upset about what somebody thinks about me. And now we're giving our power. That's all we're doing. The other person's living their life, doing their thing. Whatever it is, you may like it, you may not, but you don't have to like it. And you could love it if you want. But all of that is in your hands. It goes back to what Christ told me in the very, very, very beginning. And he told me that 1 ounce of pure love will overcome any obstacle, provided It is pure. Self-account. Self-accounting. The first 4 years after I saw Christ, it all came back to me, and I wasn't sure how that was happening. And then I realized, oh my God, I did bring that to me, and I did do that. I didn't even know I was doing it. But once we are aware, then we can begin the healing process of why we are doing that, why we need that, how come we needed it that way. Some people just argue with people on the street. They start a conversation, they stare it a certain way, and they argue their heads off. Some people, they do it through writing. Some people, they do it through music. But wherever you hear it, you know it's an argument. So then you have to ask yourself, am I a person who likes debate? And maybe it gets taken as an argument. Am I a person who likes to discuss? Am I a person who likes to confront? Am I a person who wants to call everybody out? Am I a person who likes safety? Am I a person who doesn't want anyone to intrude a beautiful space? What kind of person am I? And how do I best deal with myself once I know who I am? What do I want? Why is this benefiting me? Questions, questions, questions to yourself over and over again. Our whole life is set up for us to learn who we are. So learn who you are. Because when we don't take a minute to ask ourselves why we do what we're doing, knowing our purpose, knowing our focus, seeing where we're going. Oh, I'm going this way because I'm a person who wants to help people. I'm going that way because that's where I need to be right now. I don't see it forever, but that's where I need to be right now. That level of honesty. You stand taller, you breathe differently. Francis writes in the chat, all those questions to ourselves require honest answers. And we can't get to the honest answers if we don't ask the honest questions. And I know it's hard to see, but we know better. We know when we're fooling ourselves. And if anyone who's listening to this show right now, I know you know when you're fooling yourself. I know you know that. Sometimes it's just easier to do. Kind of roll with that day. But at least say, all right, I'm going to fool myself today. I'm not going to ask myself the real questions. Be that honest. Because that honesty will bring more honesty to who you are. Who you want to be. And why is this road the road you think is going to take you there? Ask, 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 ask. If there's anything I could say before this weekend goes, ask. You guys, I have 10 seconds. Have a great weekend. I will see you on Monday morning. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.